ready, man?
Party people in the place to be. Uh-huh. It's about that time for us to
Final hour already on this Tuesday. Welcome in, welcome back. You've been hanging out with us so far. We're grateful to have you either way. Talked a lot of college football so far. We're not quite done yet. Dawn Davenport, always fun. Going to join us at 12:20, get into the Hugh Freeze hire at her alma mater, how she feels about that. We started to argue. I knew she was going to be on the show today, Lucas. So I tried to keep myself from arguing with her on my 3HL hit yesterday, but it was tough. She was pushing me. She was provoking me. We'll see if she's got that same energy here in about 20 minutes.
What were you fighting about?
Hugh Freeze.
What was your argument? You don't think he'll win at Auburn, do you?
I win anything of consequence? No. I mean, win football games? Yeah, you can go, you know, you can win 8 games at Auburn. Sure. Why not? I don't think he's going to win anything of confident or of consequence there.
Why can he win 10 games at Ole Miss and not at Auburn? And don't tell me because he cheated to get good players. He's going to get good players at Auburn. He's going to have good players.
He's going to get good players. Well, I mean, okay. You win 9 games. Win 10 games. Not win anything of consequence. Not winning the West. Like, what are you? Is Nick Saban going anywhere?
Is Brian Kelly going anywhere?
Oh.
Maybe that's the...
Is Jimbo Fisher?
Hopefully not. Tennessee plays A&M next year.
The rest of the West wants him to stay as long...
The rest of the West loves Jimbo.
...as humanly possible. Oh, my God.
Under certain circumstances. Jimbo in this current iteration.
Anyway, you and Dawn can gang up on me here in about 18 minutes from now. Settle down. In the meantime, let's talk a little bit of Titans because we are going to obviously spend a great deal of our week on that going up to Philadelphia on Sunday. Some numbers that I saw put out on the internet by my A to Z Sports compatriot, Sam Phelan. So Sam was just looking at the first couple of games of Treylon Burks' career as a Tennessee Titan compared to, shocking to no one, A.J. Brown through their first 7 NFL games. Now, these are different because obviously we are into week 13 and Treylon Burks has missed a couple of games, which means it took him longer to get to 7 than it did A.J. But through their first 7 NFL games played, Treylon Burks has 36 targets, 24 receptions, 334 yards. A.J. Brown, in the same span, 31 targets, 20 receptions, 337 yards. And of course, it's a bit of a cherry-picked analysis, but it's not inaccurate what he's saying. The difference being is that for AJ, his rookie year, he did not miss a game. He played in all 16 games that year. Treylon obviously has missed 4 with the turf toe. He started in 11 games. It took him a while to get into the starting lineup, but once he did, you know, he was there to stay. So for that purpose, it's a different analysis of what Treylon is versus what AJ was at this stage in their careers or at that stage in their careers, because it took AJ a while. It really didn't take AJ a while to get into the lineup, because I forgot he kind of had a big game in that first one against Cleveland that they ended up kicking the Browns' ass.
Yeah, he had a 100-yard game.
He had a 100-yard game his first time out.
Yeah, and then he broke out again against Atlanta where he scored his first couple touchdowns. So AJ found success early.
Treylon has 100-yard game in his rookie season so far.
In Green Bay. Right?
In Green Bay. He had 7 against the Bengals, 24 against the Broncos, 14 against the Colts, 13 against the Raiders, 47 against the Bills, and 55 against the Giants. So it's not quite the same thing. Now, AJ had a little bit of variance in the middle of his rookie season, where he didn't have another 100-yard game until week 11 from week 1, where he got close against the Panthers, but they went to Jacksonville, beat the holy hell out of the Jags, and he had 135 yards and a touchdown. He ended up finishing with more than 100 yards in, let's see, 4 of his last 6 games to end that regular season, and then went on to help them contribute in the playoffs. Treylon Burks, TBD. So, yeah, it's a little bit cherry-picked, but Treylon Burks has shown some promise nonetheless. I think that for all that, I mean, it's going to happen a ton this week. Obviously, we've just done a little bit of it, but, like, there's really not, other than they play the same position, and one theoretically did replace the other in Treylon replacing A.J., there's not really a lot of similarities to draw between these two guys. A.J. had Marcus Mariota at the start of his career. Treylon Burks has had Ryan Tannehill for every game that he's played in because the two games that Tannehill missed, Treylon Burks also missed. So at this point, as you see him make explosive plays, 51 yards, contested catch down the field against Cincinnati, a red zone opportunity, by the way, that was squandered, came away from that with only 3 points. So to little avail. A.J. and Treylon, they're going to be talked about a lot. They're going to be talked about on the television broadcast when we finally get to Sunday. And there's not a real connection to draw other than the fact that they both have worn a Titans uniform in their rookie careers. So we'll see what A.J. does against the Titans. We'll see what Traylon's able to do against the Eagles. And the Eagles currently boasting the best red zone offense in football. They're doing it a variety of different ways. I know A.J. cost them some points, had a bad fumble against the Packers on Sunday night. It was recovered, scored a touchdown. The Packers ended up scoring a touchdown on it. Philadelphia pulled away late in that game, and A.J. had a touchdown later in that game. I believe he has now 7 on the season thus far. So as you look at all these different things, the players aren't caught up in it. At least they're not admitting that they are. And I got a question about this on, because it's a Tuesday, I do those Q&As for the A to Z Sports Instagram page. And I got a question about, like, how players in the Titans locker room see A.J. Brown. This is from Jameson. I'm not going to pronounce his last name. I'll butcher it. Jameson asks me, though, how much animosity does the average Titan have for A.J.? Do you think things will get ugly? Now, I put that question out there, Lucas. How does that strike you? Do you think the average Titan has a degree of animosity for A.J. Brown?
No.
I agree. I would say that they're probably on A.J. Brown's side. It's not uncommon. When you talk about the transactional nature of football, it's just a business, right? Well, players know that. Players know that better than anybody. So the players are going to look at, even if they may not appreciate A.J. tweeting or subtweeting about the Titans on Sunday Night Football against the Chiefs, when the commentary on the broadcast is, well, nobody can get open. And he tweets that out and he does a funny little gif and he's trolling Titans fans, whatever. Maybe the players don't necessarily appreciate that kind of stuff. But for the most part, all these guys are going to take A.J. Brown's side when it comes to the business nature of what went down between this organization and his representatives who were negotiating on behalf of him.
He got his money.
He got his money.
So none of his former teammates are going to tell him you shouldn't have gotten your money.
Not a one. But I do think there's a tremendous disconnect between fans and players that way. Fans want players to care as much about their team as they do. Why wouldn't you? Of course you do. And yeah, when they're winning, sure. They want to win a Super Bowl. You want them to win a Super Bowl. The goal ultimately is the same. But don't mistake the passion that you have for your team for the passion that they have for your team as members who play for your organization. Dontrell Hilliard, and I'm not singling out Dontrell Hilliard, I'm just using him as a recent example. Dontrell Hilliard was without a job last year. They pulled him off the couch and gave him another crack at the NFL. What, like 8 or 9 weeks into the season whenever Derek went down? I can't remember if Foreman was the first to be signed or if Hilliard came in at a later date. I can't remember exactly the timeline on that. All I know is that after Derek went down, Deontay Foreman, another example of this, and Dontrell Hilliard both got another chance at the NFL. Both earned another contract, one with the Titans, one with the Panthers, to continue to prolong their NFL career after being out the league. Dontrell Hilliard and Deontay Foreman are trying to continue to sustain their earning potential as NFL players. I would imagine in an honest moment, if you were to ask either of those two, hey, do you blame A.J. Brown for going out and getting his money? They're going to look around and say, what are you talking about? No, go get paid. So for all the animosity that you might have for him, I don't think he necessarily has animosity towards Titans fans. I think he just likes to bother them. And obviously, he's very successful at it. So don't project the animosity that you have for the individual onto the team, the players. I'm sure Mike Vrabel feels a bit embarrassed that he went on Rich Eisen's show, or at the time felt a bit embarrassed, said, A.J. Brown's not going anywhere as long as I'm the head coach. And then, you know, a couple of weeks later, A.J. Brown's not on the Tennessee Titans. He's playing for the Philadelphia Eagles because Mike doesn't have roster control.
Well, that wasn't necessarily it. He was asked, is A.J. Brown on the trading block? And Vrabel said, no, not as long as I'm the head coach.
Okay. Important clarification. But still, maybe there's a tinge of embarrassment there. No, Mike's worried about the 300-plus yards that the Eagles had on the ground against the Packers because his run defense didn't play that well against Cincinnati, and he's got to have an answer for that, both for Jalen Hurts and for the running backs that they have, an offensive line that is overwhelming. I think that the situation for this week, AJ is going to be a lot of the discussion. He's going to take up a lot of the air around it, and it's just a piece of what they have to solve. Not the ultimate picture. 615-737-1045. We'll talk about Robert Woods, restructuring his deal this morning a little bit later on. But next, we'll be joined by Dawn Davenport. We'll talk about Auburn's hiring of Hugh Freeze at her alma mater to be their next head football coach. I'm Buck Rising. It's 104.5 The Zone.
Let's see. Something different for dinner. Searching restaurants near me.
Right here, ma'am. How can we help?
Gee, same old, same old.
Wait, we're right here, ma'am. Our restaurant's just a few blocks from you. Why is she not seeing us?
Back to the usual, I guess.
Ma'am, can you not see us?
Nope, they can't see you. Because you're buried deep in the list of local restaurants. You are invisible online. Introducing Cumulus Boost. Get a boost, get found, get on the map. Learn more at cumulusboost.com.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
The Buck Rising Show is powered by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. Visit springhillac.com.
So as we await the great Dawn Davenport, join us to talk about Hugh Freeze hire at our alma mater, Auburn. The coaching carousel already in full effect, not just in terms of people who are getting new jobs, but people are being retained, as we mentioned to start the show. Ole Miss was quick to lock Lane Kiffin back up, make sure that they can stave off any kind of rumors around Lane Kiffin for the foreseeable future, or kind of put a top on it, basically, to knock that off as teams will continue to fire, or programs will continue to fire their head coaches. You saw the interesting thing about the hire of I'm blanking on the former Cincinnati
Luke Fickell.
Thank you. Mike Vrabel's best friend. The interesting thing about Cincinnati and Luke Fickell leaving to go to Wisconsin is we talked to Josh Pate about this earlier in the year when Wisconsin fired their coach. And the idea that Wisconsin has the kind of money to get in the game, really, really get in the game, but has largely been content to, you know, putter around the Big Ten, make a Big Ten title game from time to time, ultimately lose to Ohio State or whomever, and, you know, win 8 or 9 games on the season, call it a day. It's not going to be as easy to do now in the current state, the current evolving state of college football. So they go out and they get a big fish. They get the guy that Michigan State wasn't able to hire a couple of years ago, because they certainly made a run at Luke Fickell. His tenure at Ohio State was not ideal, but obviously he's done a lot of things in that interim stint, done a lot of things at Cincinnati over the course of his coaching career to really have earned the respect and to have earned a job like this. So now Wisconsin lands a, you know, quote-unquote big fish in this year before this hiring cycle really kicks up.
And I wouldn't say his tenure at Ohio State, as far as the 1 year being the interim, is held against him in any negative way whatsoever.
I don't think so either.
The coaching industry.
No, it was a mess that he walked
Complete
in.
Mess. He just had to sit there and stabilize it. They go 6-6 and they hire Urban Meyer. He did great work as a coordinator at Ohio State. Obviously was a player at Ohio State with Vrabel. That is a phenomenal hire by Wisconsin. Truly, I don't know who they could have hired that would have been the better option.
That's the one that I feel best about.
Yeah, for me, when you look at Fickle and Rule and Freeze, I think all three can win games, but Fickle, to me, is the biggest home run. Recruiter, developer, experience in the Big Ten, talent evaluator, he checks every single box.
So now with Hugh Freeze, he's just given a press conference, and among some things that were mentioned, as a part of the conversation, I think he was asked about the Iron Bowl specifically, obviously, since the ability to beat Alabama, such a premium is placed on that. Let me hear what Hugh Freeze had to say about getting to see Nick Saban again in the near future.
Of course, we know you'd beat Alabama while at Ole Miss. How much are you looking forward to matching up against Nick Saban in the Iron Bowl?
Well, you don't take this job if you're not built to want that. And I welcome that. I want it. I want to be in that arena. I really, really, really enjoy that type of game. And I have a great respect for Nick, and he and Miss Terry have been really good friends to us too. But I hope they're a little nervous today.
So he hopes they're a little nervous today.
It was all good vibes in that presser, by the way. Not a lot of tough questions.
Oh, really?
Not that I've seen.
That's disappointing. I mean, I don't know what the... I've never covered a college football team like that. I've never covered a college football team, period. We talk about Tennessee, obviously, but I'm not like boots on the ground in Knoxville every day going to press conferences like I do for the Titans. So I don't know what the ecosystem is like around these SEC programs in small college towns where maybe the media isn't asking the toughest questions. But, wait, just a lot of pats on the back and, hey, coach, you excited for the Iron Bowl? Obviously, you've beat Nick Saban before. Talk about it. Somebody ask him about the fact that he's not allowed to tweet. Why? Somebody ask him about all of the different improprieties that led him to need a rehab stint at Liberty. Somebody ask him about being a 22-point favorite on Saturday and losing by 35. Please, God, somebody ask him. But it doesn't matter, because he beat Nick Saban those two times. How about that? What is the response from... Where are you seeing responses from Auburn fans? Are they on social media? Are you on a message board? What are you doing back there?
Well, I'm friends with a ton of Auburn fans growing up in Birmingham, and so many of my friends and family friends that went to Auburn and are season ticket holders at Auburn. And I get the feeling that the fan base is split on this, and normally I don't care about social media responses to an official announcement of a head coach. It's not real life. I know that. But the Auburn fan base is a particular one. And yeah. I've read some responses that I do think echo the sentiment of many Auburn fans out there, because Auburn fans want an Auburn man to be the head coach at Auburn University. An Auburn man that follows Auburn values and knows what it means to be the head coach of the Auburn Tigers. It's one of those. So I'm seeing responses like, and this is from Auburn's official football account tweeting out an announcement, we have hired Hugh Freeze. Responses like this from a Melissa. He does not represent the Auburn values reflected in the creed. The hypocrisy of hiring him after we had an incredible Auburn man and Coach Williams, talking about Cadillac, who stepped in and made a difference, who exemplifies the creed daily and represents our institution so well, is incredulous. Another one. Way to start at the bottom with a tremendous uphill climb. I hope athletic director John Cohen realizes his wagon is forever hitched to this fallen star. Where he goes, you go. And thanks for letting Auburn women know where we stand with the athletic department. Should be great for recruiting. So it's fair to say that the Auburn fan base is not united on this. There are those that believe, well, he's going to win games. That's what matters, which is what the athletic department believes at Auburn. And there are those that just cannot stand with Hugh Freeze and his prior transgression. So that's why I'm fascinated to hear what Don has to say.
So we'll talk to Don Davenport shortly. You can jump in on the conversation in the meantime, 615-737-1045. So the idea that Hugh Freeze doesn't fit the Auburn creed. So I was unfamiliar with the Auburn creed until I looked it up on their University website about 0.3 seconds ago. I will read this, and we will see if Hugh Freeze is a match. I believe that this is a practical world and that I can count only on what I earn. Therefore, I believe in work, hard work. I believe in education, which gives me the knowledge to work wisely and trains my mind and my hands to work skillfully. I believe in honesty and truthfulness, without which I cannot win the respect and confidence of my fellow men. I believe in a sound mind and a sound body and a spirit that is not afraid, and in clean sports that develop these qualities. I believe in obedience to law because it protects the rights of all. I believe in the human touch, which cultivates sympathy with my fellow men and mutual helpfulness and brings happiness for all. I believe in my country because it is the land of freedom and because it is my home, and that I can best serve that country by doing justly, loving mercy, and walking humbly with my God. And because Auburn men and women believe in these things, I believe in Auburn and love it. All right, Dawn, that's the Auburn creed, of which I'm sure you're familiar. Does Hugh Freeze fit that standard? Because your message boards don't seem to think so. I can't hear Dawn, Lucas. There is Dawn. Hi, Dawn.
Hi. I was like, I cannot hear anything. Should I be able to hear something right now? How are you boys?
This happens to me when I call 3HL. I don't know what the hell the deal with the new phone system is, but it disorients me every time I like sound like I don't know what's going on when you guys call me for reasons other than your fellow teammates already allege that I don't know what's going on. I don't know how to fix the phones, but I'm happy to have you on the show.
Okay, well, I'm happy to be on the show, Buck Rising. How's today going?
Today's going swell. Your message boards are pissed. They don't think Hugh Freeze fits the Auburn creed, which I just read on air and made me giggle. How are you?
What, you just read the Auburn creed on air?
I just read the whole thing. That was your lead-in, and then you couldn't hear me, and it ruined my bit.
I know, and I love the Auburn creed. I want to hear it again. I've got it framed in my house.
Well, so you're one of these people who we're speaking to. Why does Hugh Freeze fit the requirements based on this thing that is framed and hung in your home?
Can I ask you this? Why does he not?
Well, I think there's a variety of different places that I could pick apart. I believe
I know. That's why I want to know, because listen, the Auburn fan base is split on this.
Yes.
I mean, absolutely split. There's a portion of the fan base, like my Facebook of my, you know, old school Auburn friends and football fans is right down the middle. I had one that was like, goodbye, 25 years of Auburn football, and I'm out because of this decision, you know. And then I had another that's like, this is a great hire. He's a man of faith and, you know, this and that. So it is fascinating to watch. And I really felt like I was reliving the entire Tennessee Shiano show, which, you know, is now my word for the other S word is Shiano. Mm-hmm. But I felt like I was reliving that from the Tennessee coaching search days when all the antifreeze, you know, hashtag antifreeze and all of that was going on by Auburn Twitter. So it's fascinating for me to watch, but I like the hire.
Don, what will it take then for a Auburn fan revolt here? Would it have to be on a Friday for the sake of alliteration, Freeze Friday? We had Shiano Sunday at Tennessee, or Antifreeze Friday. I'm trying to speak this into existence.
Yeah, like to incite a riot on your
I would like
campus.
A fan riot, yeah. Yes.
Well, it's going on right now with some of the fans. But, okay, here's the deal. So, John Cohen, the athletic director now at Auburn, obviously very familiar with you. Cohen was at Mississippi State for a long time, a former baseball coach as well. But, you know, he talked about, Hugh Freeze is a great fit, which is where kind of Auburn fans are. Some Auburn fans, I have to specify that, have an issue with it. But when he talks about fit, what was important to Auburn when it came to fit? It was student athlete development. Hugh Freeze has done that over his entire career. Mm-hmm. Football strategy. He is known as one of the brightest offensive minds in the game. Recruiting and SEC experience. He's going to kill both of those. His SEC experience from Ole Miss from 12 to 16 when he beat Alabama in back-to-back years. You know, if John Cohen's saying that these are the things that are the fit, then Hugh Freeze is an absolutely perfect fit.
No, because I don't disagree, Dawn.
That they were that was important to them. And here's the deal. This is how I got to know Hugh Freeze. I worked back when there was only, you know, one signing day. And I actually worked this signing day with Chris Lowe. So they embedded, I was the TV reporter, Chris Lowe was the writer. They embedded us at Ole Miss. And this was actually AJ Brown's year. So when he committed to Ole Miss, this is the signing day that I worked. So we were embedded with that coaching staff. And when I say that, I mean, you know, we were there a day early, hung out with them as they went through kind of, you know, film and texts and phone calls and all of that, went to dinner with all the entire coaching staff. Like, I got to see up close and personal for over, you know, 24 hours just leading into this recruiting day. And so that's how I got to know Hugh Freeze from that experience. And then obviously covered him over the years when he was at Ole Miss. So I kind of got to see that. I got to see the relationships he had with some of the players. I got to see the relationships he had with those families. I got to see what was important to him as far as those players and their development. Do you know what I mean? So I guess maybe I've seen kind of a different side of Hugh Freeze when it comes to exactly what Cadillac is all about. And that's, you know, the opportunity to serve these kids in this program.
I don't dispute any of that, Dawn. In fact, that's why we're grateful for your insight there, because you're correct. We do not have that personal experience that way. We talked to Mickey for the same reason about, like, kind of Hugh Freeze's, how he came up career-wise and how Mickey got to know him through a different avenue. I'm just looking at a situation where they are contractually requiring this guy to turn over his social media accounts and saying, but you trust him to run your football program and not his own Twitter. What the hell?
I mean, there's been crazier things, right? Is what it is. And it's, I mean, it is what it is. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
He has had a bit of a hot finger on the Twitter DMs, right? Yes, I understand that. So I think it's just an extra level of protection there, and Auburn's moving on there.
Okay. Dawn Davenport here with us on 104.5 The Zone. Of course, 3HL, 3 to 6 weekdays. You get a bonus hour of 3HL when there's not Titans radio programming as well at 7 o'clock. So on the whole, Hugh Freeze, what are the things that he has to accomplish right out the gate? Because we caught a little bit of the press conference, not enough to really have listened to the kind of questions that he was asked and the questions that the fans are going to be expected to hear answers on. But to you and to people that you talk to, your friends who also went to Auburn, people within the industry, obviously, what does he need to accomplish to start to earn that trust for the people that, you know, obviously are coming in to this thing with a preconceived notion about him?
Well, he sure as hell better win. I'll go ahead and say that. And he better win right away. This is not a, hey, you have 2-3 years to rebuild this. You better win, and you better win now. I think the first thing that he has already done that is a major step in earning that trust is offering Cadillac an associate head coach job. And I think that was huge. That we all know how Cadillac is. You know, he talked about in these last 4 weeks, you know, he's had 12 players, 7 that have been baptized. You know, he's brought 12 to church in Jesus Christ. And, you know, these guys are better at academics now. And he's had professors come to him and just say, hey, this is like completely different kids. And we know what's important to Cadillac. We know how much he loves Auburn. And that was Hugh Freeze's first move. And that was the right first move, was to make sure he was on staff, not just on staff as a position coach, but as an associate head coach. So I think that number one helps. Cadillac didn't want to leave Auburn. He's been there since 2019. He was there with Gus. He stayed with Harsin, and now he's staying with Freeze. Like, Cadillac Williams is Auburn, and for Hugh Freeze to make that decision, I think that helps big time as far as getting the rest of the fan base to look at him, buy in. And Cadillac's response on Twitter about Hugh Freeze and talking about how their philosophies line up, not only on the football field, but also as men looking to develop other young men. And I think that's obviously a step in the right direction. Now, after that, he better win. He better keep it clean. And he better win now. That's basically how it goes for Hugh Freeze and for the fan base to, I guess, step into this and I guess, be okay with it.
She's Dawn Davenport. She's the best. She doesn't say that about me, but I'm big enough to acknowledge when she is capable of bringing, as always, the insight and analysis that you need to know about all things college football and the SEC. 326 on 3HL. Where you can hear
I
her.
I always say you're the best, Buck.
That's a lie. Yeah, that's a lie. That's an outright lie. No, yeah. Don't make me accuse you of being a liar on the air, Dawn.
Oh, Bucky Buck. Hey, I talked to you yesterday when you called. We have you on every Monday to talk Titans, which you are the best expert at the Tennessee Titans.
Oh, that's patronizing. Stop lying to me.
No, that I actually do believe. Uh-huh. But anyway, you were not sold on this Hugh Freeze hire. Did you go back and kind of do some research on the coaching part? Because you said, oh, he just got blown out 22 points. But did you go back and do some research on him as an actual coach?
No, familiar with him, Dawn, and I understand what they want. They want a guy who can win and navigate the SEC, and there's no question that he can do that. My contention is I don't think that he does meaningful winning in terms of college football playoff contention in that West just because he has these two wins over Nick Saban, and somehow that's the juice. Like, I don't buy that kind of quick fix type of thing.
Okay, so that's where you are on it. Well, I'll tell you this. Nick Saban wanted to hire him as an offensive analyst when he was getting back into coaching. And the reports are that Greg Sankey kiboshed that and wouldn't allow it to happen until there was some more years kind of between everything. And now, I mean, you look back at his that 2-year bowl ban that Ole Miss had to serve because of it and everything that was going on there, his lack of control for his staff. Guess what? All that stuff with the boosters now is legal.
It sure is. Now we're in the real game. Now Hugh Freeze can really cook, baby.
You know, the word is there's about $9-10 million in NIL money waiting there at Auburn in waiting to be utilized.
Absolutely. Well, we better get to spending and then winning after that. Thank you, Dawn.
Let's go. War damn eagle, Buck.
Get the hell out of here. Dawn Davenport with us on 104.5 The Zone. I really do enjoy. Why the hell don't we have Dawn on more often other than she's very busy? Is that the reason?
Yeah.
Okay. We should probably try that more.
I can't wait to see how this goes. When he does win, because he will win, I just can't wait to see how many people come around on it. People change their tune on it.
It will not be me.
How he suddenly morphs into an Auburn man, right? After a couple 10-win seasons. Well, yes, now he is an Auburn man.
Yeah, that's right. I can't. That kind of logic drives me insane. And it's what drives so much of the decision-making in SEC organizations. A Tennessee guy. Man.
It's not as much. Auburn has a much more particular way of looking at it as far as the values that go into being an Auburn man.
I think
following
Auburn,
the creed.
I think Auburn is such a freak show. I really do. They're just this. I talk about, you know, college football is a science experiment all the time, but like they are truly the definition of this mutating thing that you just kind of, it kind of bubbles up from the surface all of a sudden, and then a booster reaches out and grabs Brian Harsin by the ankle and pulls him down message boards.
If Freeze wasn't a winner, I would love to see if Auburn is capable of a Schiano Sunday type of thing, but he is. So if Greg Schiano was a bad hire.
Greg Schiano won at Rutgers, and that wasn't winning enough to justify
Greg Schiano
all
won
the
at Rutgers. Yes, he won in limited fashion at Rutgers with his latest winning season happening in 2011. And you know what he's doing now at Rutgers? He can't get over a 4-8 hump in year 3 or 4, whatever it is over there. So Greg Schiano was a terrible hire who was not a winner combined with all the ethics stuff. That's what created that revolt.
You don't need to retroactively relitigate Shiano Sunday. You've made your peace. You and John Reed
this is on
started
you.
Your riots.
You said Dirk Shiano was a winner, which is just so far from the truth.
I didn't say that. I said he won at Rutgers. Rutgers, by the way, Rutgers beat Indiana this year, winning program.
4-8 Rutgers beat the losingest program in college football history.
Okay, let's all reset. Last call for phone calls. Polls coming up next, and we'll talk a little USA soccer because that's getting ready to get started against Iran. I'm Buck Rising. It's 104.5. This
searching HVAC near here.
Right here, ma'am. How can we help?
Wow, nobody local? Huh.
Wait, what? We are an HVAC company literally in your neighborhood. Why is she not seeing us?
Just all the big chains. Well, it is what it is.
What in the... Can you not see us?
Nope, they can't see you. Because you're buried deep in the list of local HVAC providers. You are invisible online. Introducing Cumulus Boost. Get a boost, get found, get on the map. Learn more at cumulusboost.com.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Couple minutes from now, the USA is on the pitch. Iran, the next opponent up, win and advance out of the group stage. Something I think we all expect the U.S. to be able to do. What's the confidence level like back there?
I don't know. It's a That's nervous confidence. You've got the Fox coverage in there, and they just did a big pan of USA fans in Qatar chanting USA, and right at the front of the camera pan was one USA fan wearing a big Nebraska shirt.
That's right.
So I wonder if he's happy about the Matt Rhule hiring. But it's a nervous energy because you know exactly what Iran's going to do. They're going to hunker down. They're going to force you to break them down because a draw likely pushes Iran through. A draw certainly eliminates the U.S. It is win or nothing. 3 points or go home. So we know exactly how the game is going to play out. It's just about whether the U.S. can do enough to unlock the Iranians.
Well, there's a lot off the field that's going on.
Oh my goodness.
Around this. We'll get to that in a second. Let's get a phone call in here since to keep the thread of the college football conversation. Brooke calling us from Omaha. What's up?
Hello there.
How are you?
I'm well. I have to say I love me some Brazilian music as well.
Yes.
So I have to start out with that.
All right. A win for Lucas. Everybody ganging up against me, Brooke. I know how it goes. It's okay.
Right. So I'm calling in regards to just coaching in a college-type town or, in the case of the Good Life, the Huskers, coaching in a state that doesn't have professional sport to compete with. Right? So being born and raised in Omaha, everybody loves their Huskers and loves the Blue Jays, the Creighton Blue Jays. But I loved living in Lincoln throughout college and my time there. But the coaches and their families are interacting in throughout the grocery store and at schools. And I think real recognizes real. So without even saying something from a booster or whoever, within the little town, but something is felt there and recognized in that moment. And then that goes a long way after a long day of practice, just getting home to your family, you know, they're human too. And, not to say don't say anything, but hey, just like, if you're going to just pull up to them at the gas station and pop off and say something, like save it for Twitter later, but it's not like these coaches can't handle it. I think, Mickey Joseph definitely showed that. But yeah, so that's what I got for my 2 cents.
Thanks for the call, Brooke. 60 seconds on the Oscars music. She timed it out just right. That's a pro. So yeah, there's a lot of human emotion that gets caught up in this. And obviously, you know, how Hugh Freeze, how Matt Rhule, how Luke Fickle handle the dynamic of the new ecosystem that they're entering into is going to be a critical part. And if they're able to develop and create an environment for the players that fosters growth and development, and ultimately, you know, maybe a little bit of life lessons as well, given that they are going to be spending a tremendous amount of time with these kids, that's a bonus. Polls.
Down goes Frazier. Down goes Frazier. The polls have closed and the votes have been tallied. It's the segment where bias takes over and nuance goes to die. Now, here's your favorite Buck Rising Show correspondent, Lucas Pan. Make that poll Zika.
The polls are presented by Two Rivers Ford. How should Auburn fans feel about hiring?
Are you really going to go through with this?
Yeah. Well, you set up the polls. We're going to do the polls.
No, I'm not going to have you harboring some kind of resentment for me because
I harbor resentment for you. It is a perpetual. All right.
Do you want to talk about soccer? You've already done the read. We know who the polls are presented by.
I just want people to hear the 23-year-old captain of the U.S. men's national team.
Stop what we're doing. Kill the music. The polls are presented by Two Rivers Ford. Go ahead.
Tyler Adams, when asked a question from an Iranian reporter, with all of the heat and the geopolitical tension going into this game that has sprouted in the last week.
Explain the geopolitical tension beyond what we already know to be the dynamics of Iran and everything that's going on as far as women's rights and human rights, and obviously the United States taking a particular position on that. What latest infraction that Iran is alleging that the U.S. committed intentionally? Well, did
the U.S. tweeted a graphic of the updated group standings, and on the Iranian flag they tweeted the flag without the emblem in the middle, the emblem that signifies the Republic of Iran. The Iranian government was not happy about this, and they have submitted complaints to FIFA's Ethics and Morals Committee, which is just a hilarious thing that exists.
An appropriate amount of laughing around that.
And it's just created a lot of tension. And in press conferences, U.S. men's national team coach Greg Berhalter is fielding questions about a U.S. naval ship around the Persian Gulf and why he hasn't asked the U.S. government to move the ship.
That's right.
And it's just crazy how this has gotten so heated just in the last few days. And then Tyler Adams gets asked this question by an Iranian reporter.
You say you support the Iranian people, but you're pronouncing our country's name wrong. Our country is named Iran, not Iran. Please, once and for all, let's get this clear. Second of all, are you okay to be representing a country that has so much discrimination against black people in its own borders? And we saw the Black Lives Matter movement over the past few years.
My apologies on the mispronunciation of your country. That being said, you know, there's discrimination everywhere you go. You know, one thing that I've learned, especially from living abroad in the past years and having to fit in different cultures, is that in the U.S. we're continuing to make progress every single day. I grew up in a white family with obviously an African-American heritage and background as well. So I had a little bit of different cultures, and I was very, very easily able to assimilate in different cultures. So, you know, not everyone has that ease and the ability to do that, and obviously it takes longest to understand, and through education I think it's super important, like you just educated me now on the pronunciation of your country. So it's a process. I think as long as you see progress, that's the most important thing.
That's my captain. Go USA.
Met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing.
Congratulations.
To say. Feels
We're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time. Yep. Excuse
yes,
me.
Yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.